All right, why don't we pray and read our Bibles? God, thank you for being good and kind and loving to us. Thank you that we can indeed come together and sing to you and hear your word and remember Jesus together. So God, as we do read your word and as we do remember Jesus, we ask that you would guide our hearts and our thoughts and our minds, that you would draw us to you, that you would help us know and love you more as a result of reading your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so let's do a little bit of introspection at the top of this, and then we'll dive into 1 John chapter 4, so you can look there if you so desire. Introspection, let's start with a little introspection, because a lot of chapter 3 has really been emphasizing this big idea, this reality that if we know God, if we're God's children, if we're of God and not of the devil, that we will love other people, that love will be part of who we are, that we will live in it. And so if that is so important, if that is a defining characteristic, if that separates me from either I know God or I don't know God, I'm of God, I'm of the devil, based on, as shown by my love for other people, that should raise a concern in my mind, should it not? It should concern me that I sometimes don't see love in my life, that I should be concerned with looking for it in my life. And so when I think about that, I have to, if I get kind of introspective and looking at my life and my heart, I start, and maybe you not as much, but go with me on this. I get to a place where I say, I'm not sure how much I really love other people. I know I do things for other people, but how much do I love? I'm not sure even also how would I love more? Do I do more things? What does it mean to love other people? How do I do that? Sometimes that doubt can come in. So if we reflect on, so think about this. I don't always know how much of what I do for other people is because of love. You know, when I help other people, or when I do the good things, that if you ask me, do you love people, Philip? I would pull out these good deeds. I'd say, well, of course I do, because I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this other thing, and that's all for other people. So of course I love people. But how do I really know that I do those things because of love? Go with me on this. I know it can be weird to go introspective, and we don't do it often, and especially not in groups, but just, you know, for today, because a lot of times what I do for other people, if I'm honest, it's stuff that doesn't really take too much out of me. It doesn't cost me too much. If it's on the way, if it's convenient, I'll do it. And then I look good. If the other person deserves it, if I feel you're a deserving person, if I know that you're going to pay me back in the future, or you've already done something for me and I kind of have to, when I do something good for somebody else, I want to look good. You're looking at me more judgy than you should, because I think that's common for all of us. We help other people. We want to look good. And I want to look good. I want to look like I'm a good, loving person without it taking too much out of me, without it taking too much time or money or too much effort. I want to get to your house the day that you're moving, right when you're about done, so that, you know, I helped with you moving. But... And we can so easily justify not doing hard things, difficult things, things that cost too much, that take too much out of us for other people. If you're honest, wouldn't you say, yeah, I'm kind of an expert in that. I can, when somebody needs something that is going to take too much out of me, when it's going to be too hard, I can easily come up with excuses that kind of free me, and I'm okay. I'm free myself from feeling like I have to do the thing or whatever the thing is. Am I wrong to think that all of that doesn't come from a place of profound love in my heart? And if it doesn't, then am I wrong to worry about my spiritual state just a little bit? There's, And many of the hard things that we do for other people, the difficult things, the things that they're things we have to do. They're not optional. They're part of our life. They're part of our routine. They're part of our daily obligations. Of course, you clean up vomit and you spend time and you listen to that friend who has a problem and you counsel them. You give them good advice and you pray for them, or you give your family good gifts at Christmas time. Of course, you do that. But that's what you have to do, right? If you want to be part of that group of friends, that's what you do. You buy each other gifts if you want to be married, that's the kind of stuff if you want to be a good parent to your children, if you want to be part of a family, those are just things that we have to do. It's not that we can't do them. In theory, we say that we do them out of love, but I'm not sure that I always feel love when I'm doing those things. This dawned on me yesterday. I was doing something. I don't remember what. It's something in the kitchen. I don't remember. I was doing something. And in the moment, I thought that this is an example of, because I was thinking about this message. I was like, this is an example of like love for other people. And then I thought, but not really, because my heart right now, I don't feel love. I'm doing this because I have to do it. It's expected. I want to be a good dad. And so that's why I'm doing this. And so that also, that brings us back to the same doubt, doesn't it? Do I really love, or do I kind of do the things that I have to do? And so it looks like I'm a loving person. But so John is going to help us with this doubt. After telling us, spending time just emphasizing over and over again, you have to love if you're a Christian, he shows us how to love. He shows us what love is. He shows us what it means to love other people. That's the purpose of our text today. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He's going to show and define and teach us what love is. And as we go through this text, you're going to be able to say over and over, we'll be able to say together over and over again, that's love. That's what it means to love other people. So 1 John 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So let's unpack that. Saying we have to love each other. It's a commandment of God. He's reemphasizing that. So that's where he's starting. He's starting at the place where he left us in the last chapter. And then he starts showing us what love is. Love comes from God. God is love. That God is the definition of love. You want to know what love is? You want to know what love looks like? Look at God. It comes from him. He is love. So he goes to this logical conclusion. If you know God, you love other people because God is love. If you truly love, you've actually been born of God. If you're able to truly love, you know God because God is love. Look at verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. So then he flips the argument. He says the inverse. If you don't love, you don't know God. It's not optional. You can't come from God, from whom love comes, who is love, and not love other people. Because God, and again, he goes back to, he's building the foundation on which he's going to stack this definition of what love is and what it means to love. He's saying God is love. The definition then of what love is will come from who God is and what God does. So the answer to our question, what does it mean to love, is, well, look at God. He's love, and he's the definition of what it means to love. Verse 9, in this, so now he's digging into the definition, he's building up this definition of what love is. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love manifests itself. We've seen that. We've seen that earlier. I don't remember. I didn't go back and look which one, but I know this was a Sunday. We talked about what is love. It's an emotion that manifests itself as actions. He's showing that here as well. In this, the love of God was made manifest. So God's love is put on display. It's evidenced in actions, that he's showing us how love is now to be manifest. How, if it really is love, what you feel in your heart, how it comes out of you and how it will be put on display if it's true love. What does he do? takes us to the cross. This is significant because to show us what love is and God's love for us, he takes us to the gospel. And he could give so many different examples of love, even love from God in making us and giving us life and giving us family and giving us the air we breathe. He could give us so many examples of life, of what love is in life and in God's history with us. But he takes us to the biggest example. The gospel of Jesus teaches us what love is, what it truly means to love Christ. And what he did on the cross is the definition and the model and the example of love. God's love is manifest in sending Jesus to a rebellious world so that we could live through him. God is love. And the way that he put his love on display teaches us what it means to love. That's what John is saying. Look at verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So now he gets to the grain of it. He gets to the high point of defining, saying this is love. He told her God is love. So love will come from God. God put his love on display. And then he says, this is the definition of what it means to love. And he starts with not what God did, but what we didn't do. He starts with our unworthiness, not that we have loved God. God didn't do what he did in a response to our love. It's like, well, they did this for me. They tried, they made an effort. I'll do this for them. It was unmerited. It was undeserved because we didn't love him. We didn't love him first. In fact, it was the opposite of that. We were his enemies. We had rebelled against him. And God decided to love us first. And then he did something. He sent his son. He sent his son to, and then in this word is so much suffering that Jesus went through. He sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. He suffered agony on the cross in order to put us in a correct relationship with God. He took our punishment upon himself. He removed the guilt and the condemnation and the payment and the punishment. He absorbed and satisfied the wrath of God. He paid the price for our wickedness. He earned God's favor for us in his death. He gave us something. He gives us something that we desperately needed, that we couldn't get on our own. No way we could do it. He paid a high price himself, sacrificing himself to give us something that we couldn't get, that we didn't deserve to be given. He gave us salvation, forgiveness, and rescue from hell, and rescue from our slavery to our sinful nature. He gave us adoption into his family. John lifts all of that up and says that's what love is, that God would do that for us when we did not deserve it. And then look at verse 11. Then he takes us directly to an application. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So what does it mean to love? Our original question, how do I know if I'm a loving person? How can I become more of a loving person? God's love teaches us how to love. It teaches us what it means to love. The big idea from this text is this. We're going to come back to this text next week, and there'll be a different big idea, which just shows that there are many big ideas. The big idea for today from this text is to love is to treat people the way that God in Christ has treated us. Loving means imitating how God has been and how God is with us, with the people, to the people that God has put in our lives. That's what it means to love. It's treating people with generosity in our character and with our stuff and with our friendship. It's treating people the way God has treated us. Loving the way Jesus loved us is giving sacrificially, great personal cost, and not just money, that's time and attention and patience and everything. It's giving what the other person most needs. Because you think of everything God gave us, and what does he hold up and say, this is love? Out of everything he could hold up and say, this is love, it's the thing we most needed. It was to be reconciled to him for all of eternity. He holds that up. So loving is giving what the other person most needs, even at great personal cost, to people who don't deserve it. This is where we get hung up, right? It's to people who haven't necessarily loved us or treated us well or won't respond back with the same love. That's what love is. And that is what we should do. That's our application today. If you're a Christian, listen, this is one of those direct applications that there's no way that you and I could say, well, there's multiple. No, he says, this is what we should do. Go back to verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's the application. If you're a Christian, you and I should love others the way that God has loved us. You say, well, how do I do that? I think it starts potentially. I wasn't going to go here today, but then the thought process yesterday morning kind of led me here for first application. Starting to do the things that we have to do anyway, the things that we have to do that we should be doing, start doing them out of love, not just because I have to. Start asking God to put love in our hearts. So when I'm doing the helping and doing the thing and do the stuff that I have to do anyway, that it's not just fulfilling obligations, that I'm not doing it because I have to, and with the people who are around me, with my friends and my family, and doing the things that I have to do as part of my daily life. As I do those things, ask God, would you make me do this out of love? Not just because I have to, not because it's an obligation, not just because it's my turn to clean up after and to do the thing. And that's a starting point. And if we want to raise the bar a bit, I think we could start asking ourselves a question as we go through life. Just continually ask yourself a question as we interact with people. Ask ourselves, what does this person need? What does this person need? I don't know, but God's Spirit does, right? And if we're full of the Spirit, he will lead us into all truth. So just ask ourselves this question, what does this person need? What is my child? What is my spouse? What is my friend? What does this person need? And it's not always a physical thing, right? But what does this person need? How can I help them? Just ask that question. Open up that door to be led by the Spirit. And if you think that if I start asking that question as I go through life this week, as I go through my, that's going to open up just a door to a whole nother reality where I'll just have, there'll be all kinds of stuff that I'll have to do and I'll have to sacrifice and I'm going to have to act. I'm going to have to do stuff. And that's true. And so if you say, well, so why, one more time, why would I do that? Why would I take out of this passage, this question? Now I start asking myself as I'm interacting with my children or my friends or my wife or whoever, what does this person need? How can I help them? If I start asking myself that question, why would I do that? Why would I live that way? Why? He shows us, jump down to verse 19. He tells us, after painting this picture of what love is, he tells us why we would live this way, why we would always be looking to sacrificially give other people what they need and help them. We love because he first loved us. What would motivate us to love this way? Because God's already given us so much more than we could ever give others. Even if we somehow were able to sacrifice everything, we would never get up to the level of his sacrifice for us. He has given that to us when we deserved it less than anybody in our lives will deserve our love. And he did it at a great personal cost that we will never achieve in our love for other people. And if we've received so much from God, it is inevitable that kind of love and sacrifice would come out of us, would overflow out of our lives. Those who have received the love of the Father give God the Father's love to others. Look at verse 20. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. We love because that's what people do when they've received this incredible love that God's given them. It's inconceivable that we wouldn't imitate it. So when you ask the question in your mind, not to yourself, you're asking it to God, and you're inviting his spirit to answer that. What does this person need? How can I help him? What do they need? How can I love this person in this moment? And then that little voice starts talking to you on the inside, and they don't deserve it. They're not going to respond back. They're not going to love you. They're not going to sacrifice for you. It's just going to be too difficult. You don't have time. That's not what you want to do. In that moment, I think this is a call for us to just, in that moment, meditate quickly on, what has Jesus done for me? What would it be? What would it look like if I were to be like Jesus has been to me, to this person who's in front of me? And let that motivate our love and our sacrifice for others. Jump back up to verse 9. Seeing the love that God has given us, we were going to take communion anyway, right? That's how we end. But it's incredible to look at God's love, and then it just takes us to this moment where we celebrate together God's love. Look at verse 9 again. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is the love of God. And if you're in Christ, you've received that. And this time, we're together going to remember and celebrate the love that we have received. If you're not in Christ, if you haven't given yourself to Jesus by repenting and being baptized, this whole section, looking at the love of God, is an invitation to you to receive the love of God. This text is an invitation to you to enter into God's love. He sent his Son. He sacrificed his life to reconcile you to the Father. He invites you to give yourself to him, to surrender, to give yourself to Jesus, to decide to follow him by repenting, being baptized. And when you do, you're accepting him as your Savior and Lord. And in that moment, you receive his love, the love that he would say, this is love. You receive that. And then you'll be able to read this text and say, that's me. I have this. I've received that love from the Father. And that is an incredible feeling. And when you come to the point in your heart where you say, I want that, tell someone here. You can repent and be baptized. For the rest of us, as we take the bread, take the cup in this moment, we remember Jesus' body and his blood. Let's in our hearts contemplate the great love of the Father for us and thank our Savior as we talk to him in our hearts and worship our good God who has poured out his love for us. Let's pray for the bread. God, thank you for being so good and kind and loving, for giving us your Son, for showing us what love is by giving us all of your love. We thank you, God. So now as you remember Jesus, we ask that your love would overwhelm our hearts. And then as we go out and we live throughout the rest of today and the rest of this week, that you would continually show us how we can love other people in the same way that you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.